And we're back another week. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director, Hope Resource Center. We join you every single week right here to talk life and to talk Hope Resource Center and everything that's going on over there right on 2700 Painter Avenue, right across from Tyson Park, just in case you didn't know where we were located. Today is just me. We're going to talk about a number of things for the next hour, but all of them are going to pertain, of course, to life and the celebration of it. So Hope Resource Center, for those of you that are unaware, we are a nonprofit in Knoxville, Tennessee, serving the community, both men and women. We offer at no charge to anyone that walks in our doors free pregnancy tests, STD testing and treatments, free ultrasound imaging, parenting, education, mentoring, material assistance, a number of things. And all of that, what we are ultimately is an alternative to places like Planned Parenthood or any other abortion clinic. So we are a life-celebrating medical clinic here in Knoxville. So we are certainly happy about the job that God has called us to do and the job that God allows us to do. Today on the show, for the next hour, what I want to do is talk about a number of things. So I'm just going to give you a quick rundown. Last week, you heard from Luann and Nina. Last week, I was in California, not for vacation, but for a conference put on by CareNet. And I'm going to talk a little bit about CareNet here in a second, but they're an umbrella organization that works with medical clinics like Hope all across the country. So one of the largest in the world, and they work with medical clinics all in North America. So a great place. I also want to talk about today Miss Tennessee. Miss Tennessee, I believe, came in third in the Miss America pageant the other day. I wasn't involved, but my entire staff at Hope, they really love Miss America. So they were tweeting about it all night long, and they had a good time with that. But Miss Tennessee was posed a question concerning the funding of Planned Parenthood, and I'm going to talk about that here in a little while. The next thing I want to get to is truth matters. So truth and love go hand in hand, and I think it's important that we celebrate the fact that truth matters as much as life matters, and love matters as well. Next, today, a new video came out concerning Planned Parenthood. So it's the 10th video. We're going to talk about that. We're going to kind of look at that, see what that means for the life movement, and see what that means for Planned Parenthood. I also want to talk about Life Matters, a prayer initiative that we have coming up, and we're going to be talking about every single week until the week of October 11th. October 11th, we start Life Matters, which is a chance for us to rally around pro-life folks, churches, partners, supporters, not just here in Tennessee, but all across the country. We have folks from all over the place that are going to join us in prayer the week of October 11th. It's a seven-day initiative based off of the text in Joshua, where we find out about the walls of Jericho. So a great time for us to come together and pray, and we're going to be doing that the week of October 11th. I'm going to talk about that as well. And then also what I want to do today is talk about pro-life conversations. So, okay, you're pro-life. You may be a Christian, you may not be a Christian, but you're pro-life. So what does that mean for the conversations that you have with those that disagree with you? So how do we go through those conversations? How do we engage in those conversations? And how do we do that the proper way without being hateful, bitter, and really pushing people away from us? So we're going to talk about that as well. But first, I want to talk about CareNet, the conference that I went to last week in San Diego, California. All across the country, there were people that gathered together. And the amazing thing about this conference is there were 1,200 people gathered together celebrating life, singing worship songs, praying together, learning together. So a great opportunity. Just to give you some info about CareNet, CareNet was founded in 1975. Well, 1973, we had Roe v. Wade. So in what happened was after Roe v. Wade, we had some people, not a ton, unfortunately, but we had some people say, this isn't okay. We have to do something. There are moms and dads out there that are in crisis, that are having unplanned pregnancies, and the answer cannot be abortion. It just can't. So what can we do to combat the abortion clinics? What can we do to combat that? So what they did was they had some pro-life people just get together and say, well, we need to come up with crisis pregnancy centers. That's kind of the name they went with, and we've kind of evolved since then. But crisis pregnancy centers. So women are in crisis. So they're in crisis and they're pregnant. So let's create centers for them to go to. So the name is exactly what it was. There was women in crisis. We want to provide them a place to go that is safe, where they can have conversations, and where they can learn that abortion isn't the only option. So what they did was they created the Christian Action Council that then became CareNet. So they've grown, obviously, since 1975, and now they have quite a few pregnancy centers, medical clinics underneath their umbrella, and they work with. So what this conference was about was not only bringing together people from all over the country and all over the world, but it was also a chance to educate executive directors and nurses and nurse managers and board members and medical directors and development officers and all these folks. It was a chance for CareNet to bring in some experts and truly educate and help train, people from medical clinics all across the country. And it was such a great opportunity. We had keynote speakers that were amazing. The president of CareNet really was awesome as he talked about the pro-life movement. We heard from past presidents. We heard from, this is the great thing. As a millennial myself, a millennial and a male involved in the pro-life movement, I'm somewhat of an anomaly, apparently. I was told this while I was at the conference, but the amazing thing from a millennial, from someone that wasn't on this earth when Roe v. Wade was pushed forward and when Roe v. Wade happened, for me to see there were people at this conference that were there in the beginning saying this isn't okay. Because let's just be honest, folks, the churches weren't there. Many churches came out in favor of Roe v. Wade. Even my denomination, the Southern Baptist denomination, it took them 5 to 10 years really before they changed their wording and their mission statements to say we're opposed to abortion. And we can be hateful about that, and we can not understand that. But at that point in time, science really wasn't where it is today. But what we had was we had a lot of churches not standing up, but you did have people, just regular people that were young at the time. We had people in their early 20s and some professors and a few pastors standing up and saying, we cannot be okay with this. We have to do something. So what they did is they created a lobbying organization in D.C. because that's how you get things done in America. So they created a lobbying organization, and they said, now let's start some pregnancy centers. How can we do that? What do we do? There's no models. I mean, think about that. HOPE was started in 1997, and the folks that founded HOPE Resource Center were able to fly to Seattle, and they were able to go to Oregon, and they were able to see pregnancy centers that were practicing. And they were able to see, okay, this can happen. Here's a model. We have a model. Here's some training materials. Here's some bylaws. Here's all that they put into place. Well, in 1975, you didn't have any of that. So you had people getting together in basements and in small office buildings and saying, well, we think we need crisis pregnancy centers. We don't even know what that looks like. But we're going to have to start drawing up bylaws, and we're going to have to start drawing up rules, and we're going to have to start drawing up training manuals. And how do you recruit volunteers, and how do you start raising money for this, and how do you get insured, and all of these things. And so for me to look at that and say that in 1975 we had people that said, I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm not really sure how this is going to work, but I can't sit. I just cannot sit and watch as abortion is celebrated across this country. I mean, think about how awesome that is. So sitting there this week of the 40th anniversary of CareNet, this past week, sitting there and hearing from the founders of CareNet and from the forerunners of the pro-life movement, hearing them say, we didn't know what we were doing, but we know that we served a God that was bigger than us, and we knew that this was what we needed to do. And they went out alone. And they didn't have a lot of partnership from churches. They didn't have a lot of people partnering with them at all. But yet they knew they had to do something. And they stepped up and they did it. And it was amazing. So it was really a great conference. As I sat there, because I went by myself, so I didn't know anybody. I kind of stuck out again because I was one of the few guys there. So I was able to meet a lot of people. And people were able to remember me because I was one of the few men there. But But it was a great opportunity to connect with clinics all across the country, large clinics, small clinics. I talked to some from Florida, from South Carolina, from Virginia, from Texas. I mean, they were just everywhere. California. The one that traveled the furthest, one came from Maine. I mean, we have clinics all over the country doing this work. And to join in that choir in the thousands, and to join in that choir for life is such an amazing opportunity that I was able to experience. And it was really encouraging to see people stand up and say, in 1975, this was my passion. And in 2015, it's still my passion. And it still burns inside of me. And I'm not okay with what's going on around this country and around this world in terms of abortion. And I'm going to stand for life. And I'm going to keep standing for life. And I'm going to pour into young people. And I'm going to pour into millennials. And I'm going to do everything I can to equip medical clinics across the country. And it was such a great opportunity to see that. I was blessed for it. I was encouraged and came back rejuvenated and ready to go this week. We're going to talk a little bit more about that and Miss Tennessee coming up. Couldn't have said it better myself. I'm going to do something. That is really what we've been called to do as believers, as Americans. I mean, even if we want for a second, and I guess I should tell you, my name's Andrew. We're back here. You're listening to the Hour with Hope Resource Center. This is Andrew, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. But we are called to do something as Americans, as Christians. We've been called to get involved, to get off the sidelines and actually do something. And I pray that especially for the life movement, that we can look and see that there's a need to do something. So I was talking about the conference that I attended this past week. What a great opportunity to see folks that decided in 1975, 2 years after Roe v. Wade, they decided, hey, we're going to do something. We're not going to sit on our hands. We're going to get involved and do something. But there's still much, much work to be done. And that takes us to our next topic of Miss Tennessee. You know, I wish I could sit here and be celebrating Miss Tennessee as the new crowning Miss America, but she didn't win. That's unfortunate, but she didn't win. I believe Miss Georgia won, so at least it kept it in the SEC. But my issue with Miss Tennessee is, first off, my issue with Miss America is a number of things, but one being the questions that they pose to these ladies. The questions that they pose are very much political. They're very much political, and they also are very much tilted one way and not the other. And that way is not conservative. So the question that was posed to Miss Tennessee, I mean, think about it. They asked Miss South Carolina about guns, and then they asked Miss Tennessee about Planned Parenthood. And should Congress vote to defund Planned Parenthood? And Miss Tennessee's answer in a summary was, well, Planned Parenthood gives mammograms and other female services, and I do not believe that they need to be defunded because that is work that this country needs. Okay, well, first off, they do offer some female services. I'm not going to deny that. Planned Parenthood does work outside of the abortion realm. They do offer some services to females. One thing I do want to note, that those services are not free. Okay, so whether you have insurance or not, if you walk into the door, there's going to be a charge either to your insurance or that's going to come out of your pocket. Hope Resource Center, on the other hand, we don't charge anybody anything, not a dime. I mean, we saw, I think, probably 10 people today, men and women, and no one was charged a dime for coming in. And then we reschedule them for ultrasounds and different things, and they're not charged anything. They come into our Stork shop, and they, you know, they're getting baby clothes and different things like that. They're not charged a dime for that. So, excuse me. So we're loving them well, and we're not charging them a dime. But the one thing that I really want to pinpoint on right now is Miss Tennessee said that Planned Parenthood offers mammograms. Okay, that has been something that's been said by the CEO of Planned Parenthood. It's also been said by our current president. So the president of the United States has also made the argument that if we defund Planned Parenthood, then There will be women out there not knowing whether they have breast cancer or not because they're not able to get a mammogram. Well, I'm here to tell you, now please, 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 please hear this. Open your ears. Planned Parenthood gives absolutely zero mammograms every single year. Zero. Okay? That's not one or two or you know, 50. They give zero mammograms every single year. Okay? So I think it's important that we recognize that. When we talk about funding, first off, we're talking about government funding. If they want to go out and raise money as a nonprofit, by all means, do what you got to do. But not from the government, not with my tax dollars. So if we continue to allow them to push the narrative as if they perform mammograms, then what we're doing is we're pushing a false narrative. Because what happens is you go into to one of their affiliates and you say, hey, I need a mammogram. Or let's say you give them a call right now and you said, I need a mammogram. They're going to say, well, yeah, come on in. We'll schedule you. Come on in and we'll see you. So you're going to go in tomorrow. You're going to see someone and they're going to say, well, we actually don't do mammograms here. We're going to refer you to someone that does do mammograms. And what they do then is they count that as a mammogram that they performed when in reality they didn't perform the mammogram. So if we defunded Planned Parenthood tomorrow, the amount of mammograms would decrease by 0%. So I think that's important to note. And Miss Tennessee needs to know that. And I posted that on Facebook yesterday that Planned Parenthood doesn't offer any mammograms. And it was amazing the amount of people that shared that and the amount of people that were like, I had no idea. Well, of course you don't have an idea because the narrative being pushed by so many is a false narrative. And if you say something enough times, people are going to start believing it. But just because you refer a service, that doesn't mean you provide a service. We don't offer mammograms at Hope Resource Center. Now, if someone came in and we knew of a doctor that could help you, we would refer you. But that is completely different than saying that we offer and perform mammograms. And that goes back to the argument a couple years ago when you had Susan G. Komen. You had, they provided grants. They provide grants all across the country for breast cancer awareness. So if you're an organization and you're bringing awareness and you're treating it and you're offering mammograms and things like that, then that organization wants to give you a grant to help you in that because their goal is to end breast cancer. It's a very worthy cause. My mom is a breast cancer survivor. I mean, it is a very worthy cause. The pink ribbons that you see everywhere, when the NFL puts on pink and MLB, Major League Baseball, they'll have pink baseball bats and different things because they're coming around one cause to say we want to end breast cancer. Well, that's a worthy cause. When they argued a couple years ago that they were going to take away those grants from places like Planned Parenthood, came on the defensive and they just absolutely ran that organization through the mud and claiming that they provide mammograms. But in reality, they don't. And I'm sorry, folks, truth matters here. I think it's important that we're truthful and that we're honest. And I think it's really important when an organization is receiving $500 million, that's a billion with a B, when an organization is receiving $500 million a year from our government, from your tax dollars, they should be upfront and honest. So to say that they're providing mammograms is just not true. And we've heard from people like Abby Johnson, who used to be a director of Planned Parenthood and affiliate, who says we absolutely did not perform mammograms, but we did refer them out. And so she has been really pushing this this narrative to say, hey, let's correct the narrative because they do not offer or perform or give any mammograms. And I think that's important to note. So when you hear things on TV, when you read things in articles, even when you hear the President of the United States say something, I think it's important that we really take that in, and then we go research. There is nothing wrong with us wanting to make sure that fact is fact and truth is yeah. That it is very difficult to digest all of that and see what is true and what is honest and what is not. And I think it's important that in terms of life and in terms of $500 million of our tax dollars going to an organization, then we better know what truth is. And I want you to do that. So one thing to note is, again, Miss Tennessee was wrong, and that's okay. It was an unfair question, and she might have been told at some point that they offered those mammograms. So my goal here is not to smear her. My goal is to correct the narrative, and I think that's important. And I think everyone, whether you're pro-choice or pro-life, I think the important thing is that we all are honest with each other, and that we all are dealing with a correct narrative, and that we're not bringing about false or untruths when we discuss these issues. Hope Resource Center is doing work in our community, in this community, every single day, doing great work. We don't receive any tax dollars. We don't receive any federal money, and that's okay. We're not asking for it. We have great supporters, and we have great volunteers. We have people that are helping us every single day to serve this community well, and we're prepared to do that. And we're not going to do it bitter. We're not going to do it negative. But we are going to call out dishonest statements. And when statements are dishonest, it's important to call those out. And then we'll deal with them in a graceful manner, with humility, out of love. But only because we want to see life celebrated. We want to see women celebrated. We want to see men celebrated. And certainly we want to see family celebrated. And, of course, the unborn celebrated. So we're going to do that. And we'll be back to talk more here in a second. A new video has come out, and I think it's important that we touch on that as well. You're listening to Andrew Wood with Hope Resource Center. And we're back. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. We're certainly glad you're listening today. I wanted to, before I get into anything else, I wanted to share with you an email that I just received. So we're having this prayer initiative coming up the week of October 11th, and we're calling it Life Matters. And our goal is to partner with pregnancy centers all across the country, really all across the world. We're trying to partner with Life International, and they work with clinics all across the world. And I just received an email from Jenna Fields, Hope Center in Texas. It's cool that they have the same name, or at least a similar name as ours. So they are in Texas, and she signed up for every single slot that we have. So we have three different times during each day to pray, and she has signed up for each one. And then here's the comment that she put at the bottom. She said, the question is, will you be joining us on site at Hope Resource Center for any of these times? Well, she's in Texas, so that'll be a little bit difficult. But she said, I'll not be able to attend in person, but I have printed off several copies to post at our center and to take to my home church and personal home to gather other believers united for the cause to join in prayer as well. So how awesome is that? How awesome is that, that a little idea in Hope Resource Center amongst the staff, really placed on our hearts by God. So this wasn't just some cool idea that we had. This was really, we had conviction and we wanted to do something. So then I go to CareNet and I touch base with all these medical clinics across the country, and they're joining us in prayer. This is what we envisioned from the beginning when we started it, with Life Matters. We want to know that while we're praying on October 11th, that there's somebody in Texas praying on October 11th. There's somebody in South Carolina praying on October 11th. There's somebody in Africa praying on October 11th and that entire week. I mean, what a great opportunity that is for us to lock arms, to join in one mission, to stand for life. And that's what we're doing. You know, I'm going to briefly talk about the Planned Parenthood video. I'm not going to go into great detail about it, but I do encourage you to watch all of those. The 10th one was released today. And it, as far as images, it's not as graphic as some of the others, but it certainly touched on a couple things where they're talking about negotiating the price of selling the fetal tissue, what they call, but it's baby parts. So they're discussing that in a very flippant nature. And I just want you to know, as someone that is pro-life, someone that follows this movement, when these videos first came out, there was a real push. I mean, it was on at least Fox News and some other news networks. It was trending on Facebook and on Twitter. The video released today is not trending on Facebook or Twitter. It's not on your, you're not going to see it on the news organizations. You're not going to hear a lot of people talking about it. And it's because there's been 10 weeks, 10 videos, and people are like, well, that's old news. Let's move on to something else. Well, I'm here to tell you, we cannot move on to something else. This is why life matters. This is why the prayer initiative that we're doing is so important. Because what we see is we see that when we're consistent and when we're faithful and when we're intentional in our prayer, that God does an amazing work. That's why we went with the text in Joshua. Joshua had a mighty army. He'd already taken over cities with force. Now he had God on his side, but it was with force. He was a great leader. But God said, this time is going to be a little bit different. I need you to trust me. So for 7 days, I need you to bring in your band guys. Leave your big muscular guys at home. Not that band guys can't be big and muscular. But I need you to bring in the band guys. And they're going to play some trumpets. They're going to beat some drums. They're going to walk around the city for 7 days. And I need you to trust me, Joshua. And I need you to pray. And I need you to know that I'm going to do a major work. Because I'm God. That's what God is saying in that text. Obviously, that's a summary. And what happened? They were consistent. They were faithful for 7 days. And it happened just like what God said. The walls fell down. And so the walls fell down. The city was taken. And the only way they could give credit was to say, well, we can't take credit for this. This has to go to the one that brought us here. So the credit has to go to God. It's not about how strong we are. It's not about how awesome our army is. It's about what God can do. And what God can do is, far greater than anything we can do. So they take the city, and then they praise God. And what we notice through all of that is their whispers turn to shouts. What a beautiful picture of what we're to do in this life movement. For so long, we've been whispering. And I know I've said this on multiple shows, and I've said it multiple times to our staff, and I say it to anyone that'll listen to me. And the reason that I keep harping on it is because it is time for us to stop whispering. It is time for our whispers to turn to shouts. That's what happened in 1975 with CareNet. That's what happened when a professor just said, this isn't right. This is not right. This is not the country. This is not the culture that we are going to celebrate. And so what they do, they got up and he said, I don't know anything about pregnancy centers, but what I do know is there's women out there hurting and there's men out there hurting and there's the unborn that are being tossed to the side, and that's not okay. And so they rallied together and they stopped whispering and they let their desires and their ideals and their wishes turn to action. And that's all I'm asking for you. That's all I'm asking you to do. As believers, as people that are patriotic, as people that are just love life. I've had conversations with an organization called Secular for Life. They don't even believe in God. But they believe life matters. And they believe that the unborn need somebody. And then they believe that the women in crisis and men in crisis need someone to love them. So regardless of where your background is and where you come from, all I'm asking is if your ideals are those that celebrate life, if your motivations are those that celebrate life, if you wish for life to be celebrated, unborn and born, if you wish for people to gain respect, and if you wish for people to be loved well, then let those wishes, let those motivations drive you to action. So what does that look like? Well, for me, it looked like applying for a job to become executive director at Hope Resource Center. And God allowed me to have that job, and I'm thankful for it, because I couldn't sit any longer. I dreaded the day that one day my kids would look at me and say, so, Dad, what did you do while a million babies were being aborted every single year in America? 40 to 50 million around the world every single year. And I dreaded the day that I was going to look at my kids and say, well, Daddy put a sticker on his car. You know, Daddy voted the right way, but really, ultimately, Daddy didn't do anything. And so what does that mean for you if your motivations were to turn to action? Now, that doesn't mean that you'd be an executive director at a pregnancy clinic. It may. But it may mean you join us in praying October 11th and that entire week. Maybe during that week of prayer, God will lay something on your heart, a way for you to get involved, a way for you to do something. So maybe at some point during that week, you simply pray, God, I want my motivation. I want my motivations and my desires to drive me to action. What does that look like? Maybe driving you to action is actually praying for us and praying with us. Maybe it's signing up to volunteer. And if you're nervous about that, we have great training for all our volunteers. Maybe, just maybe, you're a nurse out there and you're saying, well, I work a full-time job, but I could probably give one day, I could probably volunteer my time and go be a volunteer nurse at one of these clinics. We have a few of those at Hope. That they spend their day off volunteering and helping us at Hope. Maybe you're a businessman and you're like, well, I don't really think I need to be counseling women that are in crisis. I don't really need to be in the building, but the Lord has blessed me financially. And I can help financially. Well, then I would encourage you to let that happen. Whatever that looks like for you is going to be up to you and your prayers and whatever God drives you to do. But I would just urge you to be people of action. Even in the early years of pregnancy centers, there was a lot of whispering and nervousness and fear and anxiety, mainly because it was uncharted territory. Nobody knew what to do. All they knew was 1973, abortion became legal. So now what? But as the momentum grew, now we have people standing together for life. So we have people that do it in different ways. But what I do know, and why I have excitement, even amongst all the videos that are showing the atrocities that take place every single day in abortion clinics, even with all the political candidates that are standing against us, even all the commentators on TV that are standing against us, the reason I have excitement and the reason that I have joy about all of this is because I know how it ends and I know how it's going to end. That's why we operate in victory. We've seen the way it ends. We know how that's going to end, and God's told us in His Word. But another reason is because I just went to a conference where 1,200 people were joining together, celebrating life. Now that 1,200, really, that number's a lot bigger because I didn't take any of my staff with me. And there were a lot of other people there that left staff back at home to continue the work. But 1,200 people joined in California on the West Coast, one of the liberal havens on the West Coast, to celebrate life. Now, you haven't heard about that in the news. No one's wrote about it. I'm writing a blog about it tomorrow that you can find on our website. But 1,200 people joined together celebrating life. So because of that, I'm motivated and I'm excited because I know right now, today, across the country, there were women in crisis and men in crisis that walked into clinics and were loved and served well and taken care of and told that they matter. And that's what we're here to do. So I would encourage you to get up and get involved and engage your community and let people know that they matter and that life matters. And it's okay to say that. When we come back, we're going to talk about how to engage in those conversations, how to have those conversations as a pro-life person, and what those conversations may look like. We'll be back in a sec. These are the heroes, just ordinary people, laying down their lives like angels in disguise. The weak but always willing, the dare to do. And we're back. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. We're in our last segment. And today we talked about a number of things. I want to end with really equipping you and preparing you to have those conversations with your pro-choice friends, maybe your pro-choice neighbors, your pro-choice church members, because there are those, pro-choice pastors even. I think some people don't think that those people exist, but they do. And so as pro-life people, we need to know how to have those conversations. And we don't have those conversations by being hateful and yelling horrible things at people. Really, we don't have those conversations by calling people pro-abortion, and I've been guilty of that. That doesn't help with that conversation. So what I would encourage you to do, let's say you have a, let's just give you a scenario. You have a friend that's pro-choice. For me, for instance, I've ran into a couple guys that are like, you know, I don't really like abortion, but it's ultimately a woman's decision, so I'm not going to get involved in that. Now, hear me for a second, okay? As men, if that is our answer, then that is a cop-out, okay? We've been called to stand and to protect and to lead. That is what we're born to do. That's how we were designed. And so saying, well, it's ultimately her decision, is saying, ultimately, I don't want to have any responsibility on my hands. Kind of like when, a number of things happen, but when we, you know, say we just want to wash our hands of it, we saw that with Pilate and with Jesus. He's like, well, I don't necessarily think this dude needs to be killed, but, you know, whatever, I'm going to wash my hands of it. Well, he was an accessory. Okay, so what we need to do is not take the cop out, but truly be prepared to answer those. So what we do, and what I've told people before, is that one particular friend of mine was an African American, and he said, you know, it's ultimately up to a woman, so it's not my place to get involved in that. And what I said to him was, well, during the civil rights issue, when there were water fountains for white people and water fountains for black people, restaurants for whites and restaurants for blacks, and white people could sit at a certain place on a bus, but black people couldn't, and people were being mistreated and hosed down in the streets and being attacked by dogs. What if some people just said, well, that's not my thing. I mean, I don't think it's right, but I'm not black, or I don't think it's right, but I'm not a woman, or I don't think it's right, but I'm not a man, so I'm not going to get involved in that. That's a terrible answer, and it's a cop-out. And so what we want to do is say, no, you need to stand for this. Now, how do we do that as men? It's delicate, because there's a lot of people that don't think we should stand for that. But be bold, be full of humility and grace, and just say, I think that life matters, and I'm going to stand for that. You know, another thing that we can do is allow them, this is one thing that was pointed out at CareNet, is we allow them to embrace their pro-choice stance. So what that means is, being pro-choice, if you're truly pro-choice, then that means you're okay if that person chooses life. And you're okay if that person chooses to terminate the pregnancy. Being pro-life means there isn't choices, you know, necessarily. There's not a one or the other. It is, we choose life every single time. So a lot of the times they argue at us, and they throw things at us and say, well, what do you do when that baby's born? You know, you're all about having that baby, but when baby's born, you're not helping that woman take care of it. You're not helping that family deal with their struggles. So what are you going to do for that? Now, your first reaction may be, well, isn't life better than no life, even if that life is rough? Well, try not to answer that way. Instead, say, well, 50% of the time, you're okay when they choose life. So what are you going to do when that woman chooses life? And when she faces those struggles, are you going to come beside her? Are you going to help equip her? Are you going to prepare her? Are you going to have parenting classes? Are you going to have mentors? Are you going to offer material assistance? Are you going to offer baby showers? Because guess what? Hope Resource Center does all of that. And medical clinics all across this country do all of that at no charge. So when people come at me and say, well, what are you going to do when she has that child? Are you going to step in? My answer is, yeah, I'm absolutely going to step in. Are you? Because Hope Resource Center steps in. And every day we do that. So I would encourage you to make them embrace their pro-choice stance and do that with humility. And then, because 50% of the time, y'all are going to be on the same page. And then what we know is love is contagious. And what we know is life is contagious. And so that choosing life and that helping and walking alongside that mom that chose life is going to be a great opportunity to see the pro-choice folks begin to start celebrating life. And that's all we want. We want them to start celebrating life. We want to come alongside of them. We want to love them. And ultimately, and really first before any of that, start praying for your pro-choice friends to see truly what is going on at these medical clinics like Hope Resource Center. Come join us. Email me, andrew@knoxvillehope.com. Give us a call. Come out and volunteer. We'd love to see you. Hope Resource Center, this is Andrew Wood, Executive Director. We'll be back next week.